may be seated.
Friends, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. This morning, I would like to share with you and talk with you a little more about our gospel lesson from John chapter 15, in particular when Jesus says, "I am the true vine." And to begin our understanding of this, we need to actually go back to the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, in particular, we need to go back to the book of Exodus and the story of Moses and the burning bush. Now, do we remember that story? Moses goes to the burning bush, God meets him there, and calls him to this movement to remove and help to move the people from Egypt out of slavery into the promised land, to challenge Pharaoh and all of this. This is the story of the burning bush. And at the burning bush, Moses, he is not really taking with this call. He's kind of like, whoa, 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 I'm not sure I want to do this. And he gives God a couple of reasons why he can't do that. But one of them, he says, well, who is it that's asking me to do this? If they ask me, because they may think I'm crazy, who's asking me to do these things? And he asks God's name. And when he asks God's name, God says, "My name is I Am." Or, "I am what I am. I am who I am." But it's "I am." Okay? So this is very well known within the community of faith, that God's name is I Am. And in the Gospel of John, we have a picture of Jesus that is where he is very clear about who he is. That Jesus knows that he is the Son of God, and that he knows what his call is and what he is called to be. And we know this because of the way he and the claims he makes about himself. Now, we'll go back. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to walk along with me. But in Gospel of John chapter 6, we have our first I Am statement from Jesus. And remember, the I Am statement recalls God. And in chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." That's the first I Am statement. An I Am statement that reminds us that Jesus is saying about who he is, that he is the one who will nourish us. He will nourish you. He will nourish your life of faith. He will be the thing that helps you be satisfied, to be whole. Then we move to chapter 8, the second I Am statement of Jesus. In chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Okay, so here's the second thing Jesus is saying about himself. First, he is the one who will nourish. He will give us that which satisfies. Now he is saying he is the one who will bring light in the midst of the darkness. He is the one who will help us see correctly. He is the one who will guide our lives. "I am the light of the world." Then you move to chapter 10. And in chapter 10, which is what we heard last week, we have two things where Jesus calls himself and tells us about who he is going to be. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the gate," or the door, "of the sheep." Now, think about the gate where sheep would be. The gate allows them to do what? To safely exit and to find shelter from those things that would be unsafe, correct? So Jesus becomes, when he says, "I am the gate," Jesus is offering, saying, "I am God in the flesh," because remember, that's how the Gospel of John began. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus is saying, I am the God who not only will nourish you as the bread of life, who not only will guide you and lead you as the light of the world, but I will also be the God who keeps you safe, who protects you. I am the gate. And then following that, it's our lesson from last week. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Not only is this foreshadowing his cross, but it's also a reminder that as part of that protection is the God who will be vulnerable for you in your life. The part of protecting us is the God who offers himself. And then we have this in chapter 11 as we get to the story of Lazarus. He's talking to Mary and Martha, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Meaning that in the midst of all of those places in your life right now, or at any point in your journey of living where you have felt and experienced death of some kind, or experienced some kind of loss, or some moment of uncertainty or brokenness, Jesus is saying, I am the one who can bring about new life in you and in your experience of living. I am the one who can offer you this eternal, ongoing hope. So Jesus has said up to this point with our gospel today, he has said these things: I am the bread of the world. I am the bread of life. I will be the one who nourishes you. I am the light of the world. I am the one who will guide you. I am the gate. I am the one who will protect you. I am the good shepherd. I am the one who will offer myself and be totally committed to your abundance. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the one who will bring about from the ashes of chaos and brokenness and pain, I will bring life. That is who he has said he will be. And then it leads us to our text today, which is in the context of knowing that Jesus is getting ready to go and do what he said, to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus says this in our gospel lesson today: I am the true vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So this is the final statement of Jesus' claim of who he is and defining his messiahship, indeed his lordship, his godship in our lives. I am the true vine. Abide in me as I abide in you. The true vine, and we are the branches. He's saying to access and to experience all that I've said I will be for you, it's for us to come to understand what it means to be the branches of the true vine. That we are connected to God. And to remain connected to God, we are called to do something which is an interesting word choice. We are called to abide. Abide. Now, there's a famous movie. I'm looking around this. First service had people who I thought would know this movie. Let's see if y'all know this movie. There's a movie that came out called The Big Lebowski. Did anybody ever see that? All right, I knew you saw it, Clark. Clark, do you remember that famous line in that movie? The dude abides. The dude abides. Who remembers that? Tom, the dude abides. And now, I don't know what exactly he was abiding in, always in that movie, but the idea that we are called, I'm going to change that. The Christian abides in Jesus. And who knows what abide means? Well, maybe we should know that. It means several things. It can mean obey. So when Jesus says, if you abide in me, that means you obey me. But it can also mean observe. Did you know that? So abiding in Jesus is not only listening to his commandments and the call of Jesus, but abiding can also mean observing. It can mean acknowledging Jesus, like being willing to acknowledge where Jesus is in our lives now. It can mean all sorts of these things, to obey, to observe, to acknowledge. In fact, I think what it purely means and fully means is to put Jesus as the centerpiece of life. And what he offers you is nourishment as the bread of life. What he offers you is guidance as the light of the world. What he offers you is safety as the gate. And what he offers you is his commitment to you as the good shepherd. What he offers you is that no matter what happens in your life and whatever difficulties and struggles and sins and pains and sufferings and shames that you have, wherever you feel death in your life of whatever it is, he promises new life and the hope and promise of resurrection. And ultimately, he promises you all that he is by remaining connected to you as the true vine. So may we abide. May Bethel abide. May you abide. May you observe and obey and acknowledge the gift that the Lord has given. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand.